Now a long pass up ahead to Onyeka, and he goes up and got fouled, knocked down to the floor by Desmond Bane. Bane is a dirty player, and he just showed it right there. Bane's going to get a flagrant foul on this. Desmond Bane, who's been known for this kind of stuff in his career, he should be thrown out of this game. That should be a flagrant two. Desmond Bane, a dirty, rotten player, and he's been that way his whole career, and he just showed it in a Magic uniform. He's kind of restrained himself with the Magic so far, but he returns to Desmond Bane right now with a dirty, rotten play. It's going to be looked at, and it will be, if it's not a flagrant two, there should be an investigation into this.
Steve Bang Holman. Love it. Rare form last night. Hawks with a huge win over the Magic, minus Trae Young, and the chicanery from Desmond Bane will not be tolerated.
He's dirty and rotten.
He is a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Caleb Johnson on the Wade4.com hotline. What did you make of the series of events and ultimately a big win minus Trae Young for the Hawks?
Yeah, just first off, Chris, I am so glad that you played that so I got to hear it, because obviously, like, I was covering the game, so I was there. So I didn't get to hear Steve, and just incredible from the legend Steve Holman. What a wildly irresponsible play from Desmond Bane, but to Steve's point, this is kind of a common theme for him over the course of his career, and I mean, even more so fitting that he did it in a Magic jersey, because for whatever reason, Orlando loves to be insanely physical with the Hawks, and they've actually created some sort of a rivalry between these two teams where, I mean, they truly do not like each other. And then Desmond Bane, after the game, says, I was surprised that I got ejected. I swiped at the ball, and I just so happened to hit him, talking about Onyeka Okongwu. I go on my Twitter last night and posted a little video of the, you know, you got caught in 4K, because it was like, it's clear as day, you hooked his arm, threw him into the ground, and then spiked the ball on top of it. Just a weird sort of situation that I guess you come to expect when you're playing the Magic. And one that I asked Quinn Snyder after the game last night, did he feel like it kind of galvanized the team? And he was a little bit kind of disrespectful towards Desmond Bane, and was like, yeah, I don't really know that it like changed much for us. Like, we handled our business. And I was like, all right, sure enough then.
Well, speaking of Reese Shea with a big night, Dyson Daniels has found his form. Do you think what they did last night is something that's a repeatable formula to try to get through the next couple of weeks without Trae?
Yeah, so this is something that I actually talked about on my podcast today, Atlanta Basketball with Caleb Johnson, is this idea, it's kind of funny from fans, where if the Hawks play well and come together collectively and win without Trae, then the conversation gets started of, well, I mean, do they even need Trae Young? Or, you know, should they trade him, or yada, yada, like all of that sort of thing starts happening. Yet, if they were playing without Trae and they looked, you know, as bad as they did at points against Cleveland, and they went on some big, long losing streak, then those same fans would be like, man, fire the GM, fire the coach, because they don't know how to get these guys able to win without Trae. So it's really, it's a catch-22. It feels like you can't win either way. But I think for what the Hawks have done so far, and knowing that, you know, the old cliche of next man up mentality only goes so far when you're trying to fill the void of Trae Young, it's been really impressive to see what specifically Dyson Daniels has done, because he's one clearly known for his defense, and those sorts of things are going to continue. But I think his offense to start the season had been rather suspect, and it almost felt like it had taken a step back instead of a step forward. And yet without Trae, it feels like Dyson has either found a level of comfort or confidence. I'm not exactly sure what it is for Dyson, but he has just found an offensive groove that's been really impressive, because he's been one. I'm noticing guys without Trae are playing with Trae Young type tendencies. What I mean is, like, Dyson hits a spin move last night that, you know, is a remnant of things that I've seen Trey do before, putting up the floater, and the passing skills that I saw from multiple guys last night were certainly there. So it is, you know, definitely an all-out effort, and that's without me even, you know, as you mentioned, Chris, you brought up Zachary Risacher. That's without talking about Zach and, you know, the impressive performance that he had, 21 points in 25 minutes. I asked, you know, maybe Zach could have played a little bit more in last night's game, especially when things started to get a little bit close as Orlando went on a bit of a push. And I guess I struck a bit of a nerve with Quinn Snyder. He wasn't too big of a fan of asking about rotational things, but it's good to see the young, second-year guy putting up that type of a performance.
How would you evaluate Porzingis so far?
Yeah, he's been an interesting one because I think I expected his defense to be better. Like, I knew, and I remember coming on your show after the Hawks acquired him, saying, hey, let's not forget, guys, he is a shot blocker, not a rebounder. Like, that's kind of always been a bit of an odd Achilles heel in his game. And what I had noticed is it felt like it was even more glaring of a problem that he looked a step slow at times through some of these last few games. What I noticed he did last night was he leaned heavy into, man, I'm just going to attack the paint and force these guys to foul me and get to the free throw line. And he did so. I think he was like 13 free throws he shot last night, and probably could have been closer to 18 if they had actually called all of them. But I know that Orlando is really good at just being physical, and the officials tend to let things kind of play through. I thought his defense last night, much better than what we had seen as of late. I think it also just, it fits more of the style of play that Kristaps Porzingis likes, which is a bit slower, an offense in the Magic who are going to play out of the half court. They're not going to be running a ton in transition. And I'm actually kind of curious to see what Quinn Snyder does with Kristaps in transition, because I feel like there have been times where, whether it's him or whether it's Jalen, that the Hawks have been exposed, and it's led to, you know, opposing teams going on some pretty big runs. But hopefully, with the same way that it feels like we've turned a bit of a corner with Dyson Daniels and his offense, that the same could be said for Kristaps and his defense.
Do you expect the offensive output from Nickeil Alexander-Walker to continue? I feel like he's been playing above his head a little bit.
He has. I want him to take care of the basketball a lot better than he has been. And I kind of thought, after what we had seen these last few games from Dyson Daniels, that there would be more of a, okay, maybe we don't try to push Nickeil into a needing to have the ball in his hand, run the offense sort of thing. And maybe we just kind of leave that to Dyson. But when Quinn Snyder was asked about that last night, it was kind of like on the contrary. Like, he expects Nickeil to be a big part of running the offense, of being a distributor of the basketball. And to your point, I mean, he's been able to score at a pretty good clip. I just think it's really been, I mean, it reared its head in Cleveland, and it showed up against Orlando. Like, the turnovers are a problem that I can't figure. I don't think he's being, like, just too loose with the basketball. I think he is maybe showing his hand too early of the passes he's trying to make. But that's, like, really kind of getting into the nitpicky towards the stuff, especially, I mean, when you are essentially, you know, beaten a couple of teams by 20 points lately, or they're about close. It's rough to be nitpicking certain, you know, such small things, because I think we've seen a lot of great signs from a guy, you know, like Nickeil Alexander-Walker.
Before I let you go, next game for the Hawks right here on 92.9 The Game, starts at 7:30, is another one of these group play NBA Cup games at home against Toronto. Caleb, I don't know, man. Correct me if I'm wrong. It feels like this thing is sort of running out of juice a little bit? I know the courts look cool, but are you sensing any sort of extra momentum, extra aggression, extra mentality about these games? So far, not so much for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's funny you say that they're running out of steam. Well, they've already reached the point of coaches forgetting about point differential, because if you remember at the end of the Indiana game, Rick Carlisle was pretty frustrated with Quinn Snyder for the fact that the Hawks were still trying to run plays and score. But Quinn's going, hey, I mean, this is the competition. It's all about getting wins and then point differential to help you get out of, you know, this group stage level. And then Quinn comes to the podium and is like, man, I understand why we're doing this, but it makes it uncomfortable, quite honestly, for all of these sorts of things. And so, you know, obviously this was created in order to add additional incentive for fans and players alike. And I know, you know, a lot of people never like hearing that the players need more incentives, but when you play 82 games, you're going to get bored, quite honestly, like if we're just being point blank, right, wrong, or indifferent. That's just the fact of how NBA players act. And so adding these additional incentives, I'm curious to see. I feel like teams like Toronto are the ones who, hey, we know we're not winning a championship, so let's go try to compete for an NBA Cup. It's literally the exact same thing that the Hawks were doing a year ago, and they got, you know, pretty close. And things were looking positive for them until Jalen Johnson got hurt. So I'm curious to see the Hawks' level of care for this one, especially not having Trae Young, you know, kind of for the next, what's probably going to be at least a month. But I think from the fan perspective, it's lost its luster, and I don't know that people care as much.
Yeah, I'm right on the same page with you there. Appreciate it, Caleb. We'll check out the pod, and we'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good, man.
All right, that is our Hawks insider, Caleb Johnson, there. Make sure you check out his pod. When we get back, Alex Anthopoulos joined the radio station yesterday. I want you to hear a couple of things that he had to say, along with Walt Weiss. We got into an interesting conversation about the state of the Braves, and it's been made more interesting today by a couple of the moves that they made. I'll fill you in on that if you missed it, and then we'll get back to the football talk at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. It's Chris Thomas tonight.